For over 10 years, we've been bringing you killer metal music and frank discussions about heavy metal. Wait, who the hell is Frank? You are tuned into MSR Cast, brought to you by Mainstream Resistance. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek and Sean the Metal Pigeon. Keep it metal.
Welcome, everyone, to episode number 202 of MSR Cast. I am one of your hosts. I am Kerry the Metal Geek, along with
Sean the Metal Pigeon.
How you doing, sir?
Pretty good.
Good, good. So this is our second two-part of our album that we missed in 2017. So what we're basically doing in this past episode and then this episode is basically talking about all the albums that we really missed during the year that we really fucking loved, actually.
Yeah.
This is not our rewind. This is not our top albums in any way or sort, which those episodes will be coming later this month, because we're working hard on dwindling our list down. We're going to have some special guests come on, too, so
yeah,
to bring their opinions as well. But these are, you know, like I hadn't really heard this band that we just were going to play next, a band called Atherion.
Yeah.
Am I saying that correct?
Atherion.
Atherion?
Yeah.
Atherion? It's A-E-T-H-E-R-I-A-N.
Yeah, it just occurred to me, I don't even know where these guys are from. Oh. I'm going to go ahead and just say Sweden because they remind me of like Melodeath kind of mixed with like they really loved Blackwater Park and, you know, Still Life from Opeth. And
there's nothing wrong with that.
And like they took, because they had that progressive direction to their songwriting, but the riffs are very much, they remind me very much of like a Gothenburg thing.
And you know where they're from?
Where's
they are Greek, sir. They're from Greece.
Ah, okay. You know what? I should have known that. I remember that. But
they're on Life Force Records, and the album that we heard, this is the first album. They've had some EPs and things like that out before, but The Untamed Wilderness?
Yeah.
Yeah, it came out November 24th, 2017. It's very brand new.
The Greece thing makes sense. There's a lot of varied metal coming from that country. Like
Greece has really been
some power metal, and then they have like, you know, like some death metal over there. Like,
yeah.
I wanted to say Septic Flesh, but I just checked myself. There's a band that I'm thinking, Rotting Christ.
Yes.
You know, they have like, and all those, any band that comes from Greece tends to have that kind of wide range of musicality to them, like Rotting Christ does. Atherion, not at all sounding like Rotting Christ, though.
No.
But they just, this was one of these albums that was on the best new tracks, metal tracks on the Spotify.
Oh, really?
That playlist. And it just kind of came on. I had the playlist going. There's a lot of stuff that I was just kind of like ignoring. I remember this one because it came on right after the Machine Head song, the new one. And I remember just thinking,
which is fucking horrific,
atrocious. And I remember just thinking about how bad that song was. And I was paying attention. And then this song came on, and I was like, oh wow, who is this band? And I've really enjoyed the heck out of this album. It's a complete listening experience. It's like an immersive, kind of pulls you down into it and you start focusing on it. And it's because it came out so late in the year, it was late November when this thing came out.
Yeah.
It's going to sail under, I think, everyone's radar, but not us. We caught it in time. And, I think everyone should go check it out. It's just go on Spotify, give it a listen. They're not getting a lot of big press, but that's kind of been the story for almost every single band that we covered on the last episode. And honestly, most of the stuff we're gonna be playing on this episode is just, it's not getting the love from like the big metal websites.
And we have a topic we're gonna sort of talk about that,
yeah,
a little bit later, yeah, in this episode, because we discussed it a little bit earlier about the top albums of the year and that type of stuff from some of these metal press sites and
yeah,
that kind of thing. But we're not going to get there quite yet.
But that's where, you know, that's where we come in
a little bit.
That's where we come in for this kind of thing, because like
and there's so many, not just us, but I mean a lot of the, it's weird to say, a lot of the other metal podcasts that are out there, they tend to open their mind a little bit. Some of the metal press sites, it seems a lot of it is like they like the same stuff.
Just a lot of like post black metal and stuff like that, you know, that kind of like atmospheric post black metal stuff. And like,
which I like that too, you know?
I've seen, okay, I don't know about you. Did you, but that new Morbid Angel really fell flat for me personally. And I didn't even bother writing about it just because I was like so disappointed with what they could have done with that album.
Better than what they did in the last album, though.
But anything would have been better than that last album. I mean, you know what I mean? Like they had an opportunity here to really come back with a statement. And what they came back with was just kind of plodding mediocrity. I really listened to that album thinking that like I was missing something. And then like a week into it, just thought, no, it's just not that good. But you know where I saw that end up? I saw that end up on a couple of those big websites, best and year end lists. And I think you guys just threw it up there because it's Morbid Angel. I just kind of feel like it's a hollow choice. I mean, there's so much other good metal that came out this year.
Yeah, and then, trying to get my list down.
I'm sorry, I love Immolation. I think Majesty and Decay is one of the best albums. Mm-hmm. But Atonement this year, it wasn't that great. It was a solid effort for them, but it wasn't one of the best death metal albums of the year, period. And one of the ones that I think was, none of those lists ever touched. So yeah, we'll talk about this later.
Which
but
one? Spoil it?
Well, keep it for the next episode. Okay. But
that means you have to tune in.
By the time this episode goes, my list will already be up on the website on themetalpigeon.com.
That's true.
So you already know, but you won't.
But we will get to have an in-depth discussion about it on the show.
Yeah, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Let's get into Atsarian. This is the song called "As the Veil Fades." It's hard to say. Say that like five times fast.
As the veil fades.
Fast. Come on.
Oh, I can't do that.
Okay. The Untamed Wilderness came out November 24th, and we'll be right back.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
Venomous Maximus.
the Maximus of the Venomous.
Fine purveyors of hot sauce.
No, not everybody in the band. So let's give a little bit of background. Venomous Maximus put out a new album this year called No Warning. They were a local Houston band. They're sort of occult rockish.
Very occult rock, yeah.
But they have a lot of new wave of British heavy metal influence in them too. I like them a lot. I think they're a lot of fun. But the bass player is a guy named Trevi. And he has a company called Big Daddy Trevi's Aspburn. So that was the first hot sauce that he came out with. We've been trying to get him on the show to talk about it. Now the new album's out, maybe we'll do it. But they have a wide variety of different hot sauces. Check them out go to Google and search for them. My favorite is the Goat Whore. I fucking put that Goat Whore hot sauce on everything. It's not really spicy, that one. Right. It's more of a smoky flavor.
Yeah.
There's an I Hate God one. There's a Fu Manchu. There's this Venomous Maximus that we're about to try right now.
So this is his company.
This is his company, yeah.
It's like his day job.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So take a little.
All right.
We're going to do hot sauce on the air. Venomous Maximus hot sauce as we talk about him.
That's not bad.
No. It has like a fruity, like a...
Yeah, it's
garlic and black pepper.
Yeah.
I can taste that.
It's sort of A1-y.
That's what it is. It doesn't have an A1 flavor to it.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's like raisin puree in the ingredients there.
What is it, raisin in A1?
Yeah, that's like the main ingredient. It's like A1 is like largely raisin puree with like orange peel ground in there.
So this has so it's brown sugar, red jalapeno mash... St. Arnold's lawnmower beer, vinegar, of course, and then garlic salt, lime, black pepper, Szechuan pepper, and onions.
Okay.
Not bad.
No fruit.
No. It had that once, you know, I have a little bit more. It's like that black pepper flavor for sure.
Yeah.
I get a little bit more as we talk about them. It's good. I can taste the Szechuan.
Yeah.
Like a little bit of that Asian spice to it a little bit.
Yeah.
Not that I've become like a hot sauce connoisseur or anything, but
oddly enough, A1 is a vegan sauce.
Is it really?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing. It's like, in fact, if you go on PETA's website, they actually, not that I've been, but I'm told that they have a list of recommended, you know, vegan foods, and that's like their number one recommended sauce.
A1's badass.
A1, it's a great sauce.
Favorite thing to put on a burger.
Oh, yeah.
That doesn't make it vegan.
Dude, I put A1 on a lot of different things.
Favorite thing in Whataburger, if you guys have a Whataburger near you, is A1 Second Hearty Burger.
Like, you ever make just like you're at home and you make like just some plain deli meat sandwich?
Yeah.
And you're like, and you put A1 on this.
Oh, I never tried that. I put this shit on there. Put Go Whore and everything, dude. Yeah. It's so good.
Kerry's got a big collection of hot sauces.
Yeah.
He's an aficionado.
Sure. Not a connoisseur, an aficionado.
Yeah.
Because I don't know enough.
Right, yeah.
But, yeah. I like going to the hot sauce festivals and just trying different shit.
Yeah.
Trevi's a cool guy. Maybe we'll get him on the show.
Yeah.
You know, we'll do some live hot sauce sampling with him on the show.
And yeah.
It'd be fun. Talk about his band. But yeah, Venomous Maximus, Spellbound is a song we heard from the album called New Warning. Find it streaming in all the places. Buy it from their band camp. All those good things. Support local metal. Support Houston metal. Support metal in general. Yeah.
Yeah.
They played last night, but I didn't get to go to them. I went to, as of recording this, I went to the Blues Funeral CD release party that was at Sound Exchange, which Sound Exchange is a cool little record store we've had for years. And every once in a while, they'll do a live show in there. Small little store.
A converted house, basically.
Yeah, it's an old converted house on Richmond here in Houston. And it was a lot of fun. They did their entire a new album live, and they took a little break. And played some older tracks, and they did a Deep Purple covers, and they did a Jimi Hendrix deep cut cover, which was weird.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Cool.
Yeah. But Venomous Maximus was playing at Rudd, like right after they were playing.
Right.
But I had to get home and actually do some work.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
You know how that is.
Yeah.
All right. So what's next?
Yeah, Night Rage.
No. Sometimes. Mostly in the day, though.
No.
Yeah. You know who Night Rage is? Speaking of Greek?
Yeah. Night Rage came across my radar, I think, when... Wasn't Thomas Lindberg in the band for a while? For like an album or two, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of tuned in then, and I tuned out when he left.
Right?
Yeah, I have not listened to this new album, which is also called Venomous. Venomous.
Yeah, The Venomous. That's true, it is. We should have put those two together and it would have made more sense, right?
Yeah.
But I guess we weren't that smart. Past members, so yeah, let's... So one of the founding members of this band is Gus G.
Right, yeah.
Firewind, and then he was an Aussie for a while. But yeah, Tomas Lindberg was in the band for a little bit, 2003 to 2005.
Yeah.
You know, I like this album. It's not great, but this song, it's fucking amazing. It's one of my favorite songs of the year.
Yeah.
But the rest of the album does not quite live up to this one track, you know
right,
what I mean?
Right, yeah. Is Gus G still on it?
No, he hasn't been in the band for a while. I mean, he's no longer an Aussie since they got Zach Wilde back, so maybe he could.
I remember... When Tomas Lindberg was in Night Rage, that album was kind of it was all right. But the one song on there, like the lead off song, was called "Death Is the Hunter."
Mm-hmm.
That was an amazing song. So
the lead off song on this album is the badass song.
Yeah, so there you go.
There's something like, there. I don't know what it is, but let you guys hear it. This is the song is called "The Venomous." It's a title track from The Venomous from Night Rage. Check it out.
Yeah.
you're listening to The Command, The Fatal Command.
Is it a fatal command, sir?
Panzer says it's a fatal command. I'm going to go ahead and just agree with them.
Panzer.
I'm not going to mess with anyone with that name.
There's like a weird umlaut or something over the Z.
Yeah, of course there is. And sometimes I don't feel comfortable with that stuff, you know, like, but...
Over the A, I'm sorry, not the D.
Then I, you know, with listen to Sabaton, you hear songs like that. It's like, I understand where they're coming from. They're just like fans of history. Sometimes metal bands just so easily appropriate things like this, you know? I'm not trying to make this like a PC thing or anything, but maybe pick a better name.
Well, look at the album cover. It's pretty on the point politically.
Yeah,
they're a politically charged band. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you don't know who these guys are, it's basically Schmier from Destruction, and Pontus from Hammerfall.
Yeah, it's a weird combination.
You can definitely hear the Hammerfall guitar riffing in this album.
Yeah,
which is it's cool though. I mean,
well, I was saying to you the combination of that of his voice singing over this stuff. Reminds me sort of a Mark Tornillo from Accept, new Accept singer. New, he's been in the band for like over half a decade now, but
he's still the new guy.
Yeah.
It's like people consider Andy Dare as like the new guy, but he's been in the band like 20 years.
Yeah. I get a real like Accept feel, especially from that Stalingrad album.
I can see that.
Yeah, it's cool. The Night Rage song I really liked. It was total In Flames, Colony era worship, but it was cool. Like I liked stuff like that.
It's
more
a good track. It's, yeah. I've tried to get into the rest of the album. It's not as good. It's not bad.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, but it's not as good.
You know, sometimes it's worth highlighting those individual songs, you know, which I know we're going to do a lot of in the best of episodes a couple of weeks from now, but...
We will indeed, yes, sir.
Yeah, nothing wrong with having highlighting a shining song on one album that didn't live up to it. You know, it's funny. We were talking about the Enslaved album in the last episode, and the song that I really liked off that album, because I wasn't a fan of the album, but what the song I really liked was that cover they did of the Roy Scott song that Icelandic pop band. It's the cover at the end of the album, Where Do We Go Wrong or Where Do We Go Now or something like that. I thought that was brilliant. Like just the way they did that cover, and the Queen vocals were great. And I felt bad saying it, but I was like, yeah, I guess that's the thing I like the most about the new Enslaved is a cover song. That's a weird thing to say.
Yeah, I sort of tend to disagree with you there, but
yeah,
you know. We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there.
So we had Panzer and then Night Rage.
Yeah.
Night Rage originally from Greece and now moved to like Sweden, I believe. Started by Gus G and then the other guitar player, I can't think of his name right now.
He's been the constant in the band.
Yeah, he's like the main songwriter guy. Marios Ilopoulos.
Yeah.
I don't know how to say Greek names very well, but no. There you go. There's my attempt. Do you want any topics right now, or do you want to get down to the next round of metal?
Let's get down to the next round.
Yeah, let's do it.
Because
I don't think you've heard this band yet, have you?
I haven't heard this band, but we're going to be playing another band that I'm very enthusiastic about.
I can tell he's like shaking his hand. Yes.
Yes.
So the band we're going to play next, it's the Canadian band. I hope I'm saying their name correct. Is Car Chaos?
Carcass?
Car Chaos?
Yeah.
It could be Carcass.
They can't pronounce it Carcass. They can't do
that. No, I know. They can't.
And get away with it.
But it's Karkaos. So Car Chaos?
Yeah.
Let's just say that. This is their second full length album. They're a lot of melodic death metal, like mellow death. A little bit of. I don't want to say metalcore, but maybe they're an unsigned band. But I saw their name being ballied around a few times here and there when I was doing some research for this year, and I really like these guys. And I have a feeling that you're going to like them too. There's a lot of gruff male vocals, but the lead singer is female. And she doesn't do the normal operatic stuff. It's sort of, you know. that gruffer style, and I think you would like him a lot.
All right, I'm intrigued. Yeah.
Let's get into Car Chaos, and we'll be right back.
Burning.
my spirit is definitely now adrift. Thank you for that.
Was it the Curse of Consumption that did it to you?
I think so. It might have been. So tell me more about this band. I've listened to this album because I've heard it talking about so much recently, and it's right up my alley for sure.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, for me, I got introduced to this, but there's a metal writer who I respect probably above a lot of other writers, Adrian Begrand, who used to write for Decibel. He still does. He writes for all sorts of different things, but he has hellhound.ca. He put up his list, best metal list, and this was on there, but this was also on his blog at basementgalaxy.wordpress, and what he wrote about it was just so captivating. He's such a great writer that I immediately just like leapt over to YouTube to check these guys out, because one of the things that he was mentioning when in his writing was how like the kind of classic Metallica sound they had, and how much it was like flashing back to that kind of spirit for him. And when I heard this album, I listened to the entire thing on YouTube. They have it up as one upload, and I'm a fan of this band. And normally, I think that the kind of tempo of the vocals and the kind of the it's almost not quite sludgy, but on the border of being doomy and sludgy. Mm-hmm. That's not stuff I normally listen to, but I love this album because
you have to pride that you liked it so much.
There's something very there's something that takes me back to like when I was just getting into metal, like when I was like in elementary school and like about to jump into middle school, and I was just discovering bands. This reminds me of something that I would have heard back then and gotten me really excited about, like, you know, music. There's a very nostalgic feel baked into this, but it's not that the band is nostalgic, it's that they're making something, they're conjuring
some
up something like that.
Some
for
of the
me.
Guitar tones that remind me are a lot of from the band Trouble.
I could hear that, yeah.
There's definitely a lot of the same guitar, you know, tone that they're known for. Vocally, it's like a slower, like a Candlemass, if Candlemass was slower.
It's sort of like Candlemass crossed with like Metallica guitar tone almost.
Yeah, I could see that, definitely. Yeah. It's good. It's really good. Yeah.
There's a crispness to the recording that reminds me of Metallica. But yeah, you're right. I mean, if the vocalist was a little bit different, just a little bit, it could be a Candlemass thing, you know?
It's Candlemassian in nature.
Candlemassian, yeah.
Yes. That's a new term we've just dubbed.
And then something, you know, sometimes, you know, it's not always just about the music. It's like you look at the visual and stuff of the album cover, and everything just sort of clicks, you know, and you just appreciate it as a complete work of art. We always just talk about bands here and based on what we're hearing, but sometimes it really just is as simple as, man, I really like that album cover, and I like the logo, and I like the style of the way they kind of present themselves on the cover, and then the music backs it up, you know.
So I definitely agree.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's just that kind of, there's something very basic and fundamental about this album that's really good. And I've been listening to it a lot ever since I read it on Adrian's, but you should go read Adrian's stuff. He covers all sorts of music, not just metal, but anything he writes about is always intriguing to me. In fact, there's some non-metal stuff I got into just by reading his blog and checking out stuff on Spotify.
So I just Googled the band right here, Spirit Adrift, and Angry Metal Guy talking about in the review. He throws about tomes of Black Sabbath, Cathedral. Wouldn't feel out of place in a Paul Bearer track, which I definitely hear that.
Yeah.
Paul Bearer is one of my favorite new doom bands.
Right.
And we'll get to that. Spoiler.
I didn't think about Cathedral. That was a good point.
And he talks about, he mentions Trouble in here. He says one of the tracks takes a nod towards Trouble's more psychedelic moment. So I'm not the only one who that band came to mind.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm definitely interested in hearing more. I don't know if it's going to affect my list because I've already pretty much...
These guys are from Phoenix, which is a rarity in my experience from just metal. Metal doesn't really come from Phoenix that much. The most notable being Flotsam and Jetsam,
mm-hmm.
who I think they might have been from Tempe or something. Maybe, I don't know.
I'm going to actually meet Flotsam and Jetsam in, was it
June? Oh yeah, yeah. For
I bought the VIP meet and greet for the Hammerfall and Flotsam and Jetsam tour, and you get to meet both bands.
Yeah, that'll be cool. Yeah,
that's gonna be fun.
Yeah, it'll be good to see them. I've never seen Flotsam and Jetsam.
I've seen them twice. Once was with James Rivera on vocals when he was filling in.
Cool.
When, after Eric AK was gone.
Yeah.
It was a very interesting show. It was cool.
Yeah.
It was fun. But yeah, Spirit Adrift, I definitely like this, man.
And you know, Carcass, is that what we agreed to? Yeah, Carcass.
I like that.
I could see how, I mean, it does, there are parts of it remind me sort of like a metalcore type thing.
Bits and pieces. I definitely hear a lot of.
But not enough to put me off.
Yeah, a lot of Melodeath. Her vocals are different enough.
I think what I liked about it was that they had so many things going on, but they didn't seem to kind of, like, because there was, like, the orchestral, the symphonic element in the background with her singing and him growling, and it didn't, they seemed to keep it together, at least for that song. I need to listen to the entire album, but, I was impressed. I don't know, I mean, they were sort of more power metal-y than they were Melodeath or anything, to me.
I definitely hear the power metal influence, too, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, cool.
I like them. They're from Montreal, Quebec.
So, okay, yeah.
Unsigned, independent, but they're on Spotify and all those places. I mean,
it's a lot of good stuff coming out from Canada in the past like couple years.
Yeah,
it just like trickling in bands.
Yeah. Let's talk about this next band we're gonna hear. This was brought to my attention by a good friend of the show, Justin. Who's been on Metal Geeks many, many times, and he's also, you know, combo creator and good friend of ours, but he's like, dude, you have to hear these guys, Shade Empire. And I started, after he mentioned them, I started seeing them on people's list. So, have you heard them yet?
No.
So what we're going to do, I'm going to give you a little background on them. They're Finnish, of course. they're on Candlelight Records. It's a new album. So this is their fifth full-length album called Poetry of the Ill-Minded. It's really cool stuff. Let's see. So melodic, you know, industrial. I wouldn't really call them industrial, but Melodeath, you know, in a good way. So if you think of Finnish Melodeath, in like Insomnium comes to mind, and in Morpheus, you might like these guys.
All right. Yeah.
It sounded like that you might be a Regnet joke.
Yeah.
Might be, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
you might be into Finnish Melodeath. If you like Morpheus,
you might like Shade of Empire. Shade Empire. All right, let's check it out. This is Sean's first time hearing them, and we'll be right back.
Wanderer. We'll be right back. Nocturnes and Requiems by Witherfall. This is the album. Portrait is the song. And I love it.
You love it?
Yeah.
Oh, great. I love it too.
When we talked about this album when it first came out, and I was kind of lukewarm on it. Mm-hmm. But Witherfall are one of, because they did this awesome cover a couple years ago of Judas Priest Out in the Cold, which was one of my favorite Judas Priest songs of all time. I felt it upon, like, that it's been a responsibility of mine.
Where was that on?
That was on it's on the EP, right? It was an EP or something that came out.
I only see this full length, which is Nocturnes and Requiems.
Am I thinking about another band?
Are you thinking of Witherscape?
Witherscape.
Yes.
Okay. Well, then I don't know anything about these guys.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, now you will.
Who are they? So this is Witherfall, new band.
Yeah, this is their first album. Okay. Los Angeles, California. They're on Century Media Records. They're a little hard to describe. I feel I get a lot of Nevermore vibe from them. I get a lot of Hellstar vibe from them.
Didn't Witherscape have a new album this year?
Not this year, no.
Last year?
I think it was 2015.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been a couple years.
All right.
You're focused on Witherscape, huh?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's Dan Swano's band.
Okay. Yeah, fuck.
You look confused.
Yeah, I think I'm getting these guys mixed up with them.
Yeah, they're not the same.
Yeah.
That's for definitely sure. But so what did you think of the song you just heard though?
I liked it. These guys are it's like doomy but not annoyingly slow in the way that usually bothers me. And there's, for me, I know we referenced them a lot lately, but Opeth's kind of still life vibe, mm-hmm. in the way the guitars are produced and stuff.
So just a little background, this album, the drummer passed away a few months before the album release. So, which is very sad. And it's masterminded by former White Wizard vocalist Michael Joseph and current Iced Earth lead guitar player Jake Dreyer, which I did not know that when I started listening to it. So comparisons can be immediately made to Nevermore or Control Denied, which is the first thing that I thought of.
Huh. Jake Dreyer?
Yeah.
He's in Iced Earth now?
Apparently.
Wonder if he was on the new album. Because I know they lost a guitarist recently.
Did they?
Yeah.
So Jake Dreyer has been known for Iced Earth, Jake Dreyer. That's crazy. Cobra and the Lotus Live, has been in White Wizard. He was also in that band too. And so was Joseph Michael.
Okay.
He was also in White Wizard.
He hasn't been on the Iced Earth album yet.
I don't know. Let's look up Incorruptible, which is this a spoiler for one of our top albums? Yeah, he was lead guitar player on the new Iced Earth.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so we're learning something new as we go along.
Yeah.
I did not know that either.
Yeah.
Very cool, huh?
But I remember hearing about White Wizard recently. I think we actually talked about them last year.
I was never a fan of White Wizard, but...
But they had they had something come out recently that we were talking about. Time is making all these things blur together. Witherfall and Witherscape and Jake Dreyer and stuff.
You're just getting like, old.
Yeah, apparently.
That's cool, though. I mean, I like these guys a lot. I mean, go back and listen to this album. It's getting good reviews. It's been on some people's list here and there. Yeah, if you like any of those bands that we had mentioned, I think you're going to dig this album.
So I liked Witherfall, but the Shade Empire thing...
Yeah?
I was with them until like the middle of the track. Mm-hmm. I don't dislike it. I liked it. But I was with them until they brought in the saxophone in the middle of the song.
I like that. I think it's interesting.
That's really starting to bother me. Like, I don't know. It's something that like a lot of bands have been doing. Or like, well, not a lot, but just certain noticeable artists.
Mm-hmm.
and I don't think it's a good sound. I'm getting tired of it. I think it should be out of metal. I think that it's being overused too much, and especially in the context that it was used there. Well, yeah, I mean, I think he's the one who started it all.
Yeah.
But especially where it came in into that song, they really should have had a guitar solo in that place. I mean, everything was fine up until that moment, and I think it kind of ruined it for me. So now I'm just sort of like, I don't know. Everything sounded good, but the thing I remember the most from that song is the saxophone solo. That's not a good sign.
No, it's not. I like them. I mean, they're great. They're not my favorite album of the year, definitely not by far. But it's good, Finnish Melodists. I mean,
I'll go and listen to the album just for Justin's sake. Just for the fact that this was his pick. So
yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll do that. So we have two more songs we're actually going to play tonight.
Okay.
One is a band called Thornheim. Have you heard these guys yet?
Mm-mm.
One of these other bands that I discovered on my, I guess, spiritual voyage into finding new music I didn't listen to this year. And I really like these guys. They're Swedish, the symphonic black death metal, but this album is definitely, it's a concept album about the people that live in an insane asylum. Hmm. So each song is about different people that live there. This is the first full length album called Where Hatred Dwells and Darkness Reigns. But before we get into that, let's give a little bit of a preview of 2018, because we are going to play an Orphanland track to sort of segue from 2017 and 2018, and then we're going to have our 2017 Rewind episodes coming up very soon, and I think there's going to be a lot of discussion there, I can already tell.
Yeah.
And we're going to bring some special guests on to discuss their albums of the year as well, so it's going to be fun.
The Orphanland album comes out in January, right?
Yes.
Yeah. The video for this song is really cool.
It really is cool.
And it's cool because they do a little shout out, because Hansi's on the song, a guest vocalist on the song, which is still mind boggling to me.
I wish he was used more.
Though. I wish he was used more, but it was a cool little thing when the guy opens his locker and he has the Blind Guardian posters and like all the CDs and stuff in his locker. I thought that was cool, like a nice little nod to Hansi.
Yes,
and then the creator being in the video too. Like they go see the video, but they go to this creator show in the video. I thought that was great.
The video is basically about how metal brings people of all races and cultures
different cultures together. Yeah.
So, which it's a great message, and that's what they've always been about. And I love Orphanland.
Yeah.
Why didn't they go to an Orphanland concert?
No, but I like that they didn't do that.
I know, it's weird.
I thought that's what they were like driving towards. Yeah. Oh, they're going to go to see Orphanland.
But all of a sudden, creators in it.
Sort of make it less like
about them.
Less corny. It's a creator, you know.
Yeah,
it's not like they're not trying to put themselves on the pedestal. It's not about Orphanland. It's about the meaning of this video.
It's,
you know,
it's about loving metal,
right? Yeah, and you know what more like a uniting band than creators. So
yeah, who I didn't get into until 2017.
Better late than never, though.
Yes, yeah. I definitely agree. Judgment. I got to see them live, and that just sort of like, yep, I'm a big fan now.
There's too much. There's no way. I don't ever believe anyone who says they can be like that. They're the kind of like they know everything about metal, because I don't think anyone can know everything about metal. There's too much.
No,
you know, so like, you know, yeah, I always just, rather than trust like websites or like whole like publications, I just trust like individual voices. So I know I get a lot of my recommendations from you.
You know, I get a lot from you too.
And you know, there are other people like certain specific people whose voices I trust. And I know that, I mean, I'm flattered that people who read the Metal Pigeon, they get some of their, they trust me for that. Like I just had someone tell me that the first time they started listening to one of the bands on my best of, I can't remember which one it was, but he was saying that like, Vinnersorg.
Yeah.
That they had never heard Vinnersorg until.
Oh my God,
like,
really?
Yeah, that they knew about him, but they never bothered looking into his solo stuff until I wrote something earlier this year. And then they're like, now they're a Vinnersorg fan. It's like, that's kind of the reason why I do this stuff, you know? So.
Exactly, yeah. Right. I mean, if that's the purpose of this show, the magazine back in the day was the same way. It's, we we're metalheads. We're fans of the genre. And it doesn't matter what style of metal it is, what kind of band it is, we'll play them on the show. And that's one of the things I love about the fanzine I used to do back in the day and what this show has become, is we're able to do things like that. You know what I mean?
I'm really proud of the fact that this show covers the spectrum. You know, I mean, anything, like from funeral doom to power metal to the floweriest power metal, LA Guns, like, we'll talk about any of it, you know?
That's right. I mean, we talked about, you know, Scorpions and Elton John the last episode.
We're going to talk in the next episode, in the year-end episode, about an album that came out this year that is an 83-minute long song. So that's the kind of range we're talking about about different things on the show.
And then we're going to talk about an album that's on my list that features about 50 vocalists.
Yeah.
So there's a running the gamut for you right there.
Yeah.
I hope that didn't spoil it for anybody, but I'm sure people that know me know who the fuck I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But yeah, so thanks for tuning in to MSRcast during 2017. We apologize for not getting as many out as we would like, but recently with our computer going down,
computer
studio problems,
hurricane,
that kind of stuff.
Things happened.
I'm making it a point right now, my resolution for 2018 is to do more episodes of both of my podcasts.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
I know that was our resolution last year, but we failed.
We're not going to fail this year. We're going to get back on the metal diet.
Yeah.
We're going to go to the gym more often, right? The metal gym, which it's what I do when I'm at the gym. I jam some metal.
Yeah.
It gets me going. But 2017's, you know, it wrapped up and a lot of good metal. Stay tuned for our 2017 rewinds to hear what my favorite picks are from the year and what Sean's favorite picks are. And maybe Dave from the Metal Geeks podcast.
Yep.
And a couple other people that have expressed quite a bit of interest to come on and discuss. We're working on the Metal Geeks 2017 Rewind as well, which won't cover all metal, but it will cover some of the music that we listen to, but mostly movies and music and video games.
Mostly Star Wars.
Mostly Star Wars, yeah.
All right, so social media time.
Oh, yeah.
Where can people find us?
They can find MSRcast on all the social medias, on Twitter, Instagram, at MSRcast. Facebook is /MSRcastOfficial. You can find, of course, our sister show, the Metal Geeks Podcast, on all the social medias at. Not an ad like Star Wars, because we're going to talk about that on Metal Geeks. See how I worked that back around? At Metal Geeks on all those social media platforms. Of course, let me try to handle yours real quick.
All right.
You can find the Metal Pigeon on all the social media platforms at The Metal Pigeon.
Yeah.
You can go to themetalpigeon.com to read all about his, Sean the Metal Pigeon's unique writings on all things metal.
I should have my best of list up by the time you hear this.
Your top 10 best of songs are on there, which is interesting because my top 10 songs are not indicative of my top 10 albums at all either.
Well, sometimes they cross over, but a lot of times they don't.
Not all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, because a lot of times the songs list is sort of for those isolated songs that where the album was just sort of meh, you know?
Right, exactly right. So check out themetalpigeon.com for all that good stuff. Yeah, I think that's it. We're going to get into Thornheim. The song is called The Opposed from the album Where Hatred Dwells and Darkness Reigns. If you are a fan of symphonic black metal, I think you guys are going to dig this. And then we're going to break away into 2018 with Orphaned Land. The song is called Like Orpheus, and that's it. 2017 is done.
Long year.
Long year, yes indeed. But you know what I like to do every year?
Get drunk?
And keep it metal.
Oh, keep it metal, yeah.
Thanks.
Die. Zoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.